Today is Pentecost Sunday. The epistle for the Mass today is taken from the Acts of the Apostles, chapter 2. When the days of Pentecost were accomplished, they were all together in one place, and suddenly there came a sound from heaven, as of a mighty wind coming, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. And there appeared to them parted tongues as it were of fire, and it sat upon every one of them, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost. And they began to speak with diverse tongues, according as the Holy Ghost gave them to speak. Now there were dwelling at Jerusalem Jews, devout men, out of every nation under heaven. And when this was noised abroad, the multitude came together and were confounded in mind, because that every man heard them speak in his own tongue. And they were all amazed and wondered, saying, "Behold, are not all these that speak Galileans? And how have we heard every man our own tongue wherein we were born? Parthians and Medes and Elamites and the inhabitants of Mesopotamia, Judea and Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt and the parts of Libya about Cyrene, and strangers of Rome, Jews also, and proselytes, Cretes and Arabians, we have heard them speak in our own tongues the wonderful works of God." And the Holy Gospel is taken from the Gospel of St. John, chapter 14. At that time, Jesus said to his disciples, "If anyone love me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him and will make our abode with him. He that loveth me not keepeth not my words. And the word which you have heard is not mine, but the Father's who sent me. These things have I spoken to you, abiding with you. But the Paraclete, the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things, and bring all things to your mind, whatsoever I shall have said to you. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, do I give unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, nor let it be afraid. You have heard that I said to you, I go away, and I come unto you. If you loved me, you would indeed be glad, because I go to the Father, for the Father is greater than I. And now I have told you before it come to pass, that when it shall come to pass, you may believe. I will not now speak many things with you, for the prince of this world cometh, and in me he hath not anything. But that the world may know that I love the Father, and as the Father hath given me commandment, so do I." Thus far the words of the Holy Gospel. And there appeared to them parted tongues as it were of fire, and it sat upon every one of them, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost. These words are taken from the epistle for the Mass today. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen. My dear friends, according to one church historian, 11.4 million Catholics were put to death for the faith in the early centuries of the church. 11.4 million men, women, and even children were brutally tortured and eventually executed because they would not compromise their God-given faith. Some of these heroes of the faith we've heard of, many we have not heard of. But among those that we have heard of was a young girl named Eulalia. Saint Eulalia is not a very well-known saint, but she was among the millions of Christians who stood up to the pagan governors in the early days of the church. She was born in the year 290, and she was martyred in 302. She was thus only 12 years old. Eulalia lived in Merida, a city which is located in Spain on the Iberian Peninsula. Her parents were not only well-to-do citizens of the city, but they were also devout Catholics, and they raised their daughter in the practice of Christian piety. Eulalia was thus faithful to her daily prayers. She loved God, she loved Our Lady, and she loved her Catholic faith very much. Well, one day a man named Dacian arrived in Merida. He was the pagan governor of Spain, and he hated Christianity. On arriving in the city, Dacian immediately put into effect the mandate of Emperor Diocletian, an order which compelled all men and women without exception to offer sacrifice to the pagan gods. The penalty for refusing to comply with this mandate was torture and execution. To escape the imperial mandate, many Christians fled into hiding. Many others were arrested and brought before the governor. Eulalia, instead of fearing for her life, was filled with a holy indignation that this governor would try to stamp out the light of faith in Spain. And so one day she went for herself to see what transpired at the court of Dacian. There she saw the governor in his judgment seat, and before him stood a number of Christians, bound in chains, patiently waiting the sentence of execution. The sight of these brave men and women inspired Eulalia with a heroic courage. And so she made her way through the crowd, and she approached the governor. She then proceeded to publicly rebuke him for his cruelty and then firmly profess her belief in Christ, this 12-year-old girl. Needless to say, the governor was shocked, and he was a bit taken aback at the boldness of this little girl. But on gaining his composure, he tried to win over Eulalia by promising her many gifts and honors if she would renounce her faith. But to all his offerings, she remained firm. He then threatened her with torture and punishment. But to all his threats, she remained calm. In a last attempt to move Eulalia to renounce her faith, Dacian ordered that an idol with a plate of salt and incense be set before her. "Do but touch," he said, "with the tip of your finger these grains of salt and incense, and not a hair of your head will be harmed." Eulalia's only response was a silent look. And then, in defiance of paganism, she walked up to the table and she kicked it over, dashing the idol, the salt, and the incense to the ground. "The Holy Ghost will give me strength," she said, "to bear bravely whatever torments you have prepared for me. The Holy Ghost will give me strength. Gladly will I suffer for Jesus Christ. Burn, cut, tear me asunder. It is no hard thing to break a fragile vessel like this body, but all your tortures cannot reach my soul." Hearing this, Dacian ordered his soldiers to punish Eulalia severely. She was first beaten with heavy metal rods and then put on a rack and stretched until her muscles and limbs began to tear. The soldiers then took large iron hooks and they began ripping flesh from her sides. And at length they took burning torches and they applied them to her wounds, consuming her in flames until she expired. Among her last words were these: I thank thee, O my God, that thou hast strengthened me in the combat and hast not permitted me to fail under pressure. Lord Jesus Christ, hear my prayer and perfect thy work in me. This was on December 10th in the year 302. Less than 300 years before this heroic display, my dear friends, a far from heroic event occurred. On the first Holy Thursday night, when our Lord was arrested in Gethsemane, the apostles did not stand up for our Lord as Saint Eulalia did. They panicked. They ran away. They were weak. They were fearful. They had a fallen human nature. They were susceptible to the world. And they did not have the strength of the Holy Ghost. And so through weakness, they abandoned their Lord and their Master. But when the Holy Ghost came down upon them that first Pentecost Sunday, he filled them with such strength, with such courage, that they boldly and fearlessly went throughout the world, preaching and proclaiming Christ and the one true Catholic faith, even to the point of laying down their lives for our Lord and the faith. Saint Peter was crucified upside down at Rome. Saint Andrew was crucified on an X-shaped cross. Saint James the Greater was imprisoned and beheaded. Saint Thomas, he had a spear driven right through him. Saint Bartholomew was filleted alive. Saint John was thrown into a cauldron of boiling oil. And though he miraculously survived because God had special plans for him, he is nonetheless considered a martyr because he suffered for Christ and the faith. Though they had fled from our Lord in Gethsemane, in the end the apostles persevered, and they suffered anything and everything for the sake of Christ. And this they were able to do because of the graces given them by the Holy Ghost on that first Pentecost. As the Holy Ghost fortified the apostles by his grace, my dear friends, and as he strengthened Saint Eulalia, so too does he strengthen us. In virtue of our baptisms, the Holy Ghost dwells in our souls through sanctifying grace. And through the sacrament of confirmation, he strengthens us to bear bravely whatever comes our way in this life. And today, we need his help. We desperately need his grace. For like the apostles in Gethsemane, like the apostles before that first Pentecost Sunday, we are weak. We are fearful. We have a fallen human nature. And we are susceptible to the world. We thus need a paraclete. We need a helper who will strengthen us. For we face many dangers in the world today, dangers to our faith, dangers to our soul, dangers to our eternal salvation. Most of you know what it's like out there in the world. You know what it's like in the workplace, what it's like in the public schools and colleges, the perversion and brainwashing that goes on there. You're aware of what people talk about, how they dress. You know what people think, the books and articles they read, the movies and television shows they see, the music they listen to, the jokes that they make. You know what pressure there is to go along with the world. And you are aware of the efforts of godless and wicked men to undermine Catholic morality, to corrupt and pervert our children, to overthrow God and his laws, and even to take away the freedom we have to profess and practice openly our Catholic faith pure and entire. You know what we're up against. We are outnumbered. There's no denying that. But our divine Savior sent the Paraclete to us. He sent us a powerful helper in the Holy Ghost. And if we are faithful to him, he will be faithful to us. He will help us as he helps St. Eulalia. He will help us conquer temptation. He will aid us in the struggle to practice virtue. He will comfort us in our sorrows. He will deliver us from the enemies of our souls. He will brace us to endure the hardships, the worries, the discouragements of this life. And he will give us the fortitude we need in these days to remain true to the belief and practice of our holy faith. But we must pray to him. We must pray to him every day for strength. It can be a prayer in our own words, or it can be the Come Holy Ghost prayer. It doesn't even have to be a long prayer. But we must pray to the Holy Ghost. You know, I'd say that the Holy Ghost is, in a certain sense, the forgotten person of the Blessed Trinity. We typically only think of him around Pentecost Sunday, but other than that, he often falls by the wayside. We have to change this. We have to remember to pray to him every day. Even as we do our part in the fight for the faith and the battle to save our souls, receiving the sacraments often, and shunning and running from the occasions of mortal sin. May the fire of the Holy Ghost set the hearts of each and every one of us ablaze with love for God and our holy faith, that we may go forth like St. Eulalia and so many Catholics before us, conquering temptation, afraid of nothing, worried about nothing, discouraged at nothing. That trusting in the Sacred Heart of Jesus and the Immaculate Heart of Mary, and confident in the power of the Holy Ghost, we may live like the soldiers of Christ that we are, so that at the end of our lives, we may say with St. Paul, "I have fought a good fight, I have finished my course, I have kept the faith," and that at our deaths, we may say with St. Eulalia, "I thank thee, O my God, that thou hast strengthened me in the combat and hast not permitted me to fail under pressure. Lord Jesus Christ, hear my prayer and perfect thy work in me." God bless you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen.